Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 202 of CJ Evolution. Patrick here. I'm the host and creator of this fantastic podcast we call CJ Evolution. Thank you for tuning in. The reason why we continue to grow is because of your support. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women, protecting us day in and day out from the various threats out there. We admire and we are so proud of what you're doing every day. I don't care what people say, you are doing a fantastic job. Keep up the great work. I think I mentioned before a couple times that we are affiliated with Four Sigmatic now. If you don't know who Four Sigmatic is, their mission is a simple one. Make the everyday magic of functional mushrooms more easily accessible to you, the consumer. And they do this by creating some great products, some of them being mushroom coffee. Yeah, you heard me, mushroom coffee. It's amazing. You will love the way it tastes. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. If you take that link, you can peruse their products and you'll get 15% off of all your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, I don't know too many officers out there that don't have something on the side, whether it's an extra job, whether they teach, they have their own business. And my next guest can tell you how to make money in real estate. So I hope you enjoy this very informative episode with a real estate expert. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Mark Podolsky on the show. If you don't know who Mark is, he is widely considered the country's most trusted and foremost authority on buying and selling raw, undeveloped land within the United States. Mark, are you welcome?
Patrick, how are you?
I am doing great, sir. I gave you a little bit of a bio of you. Can you fill in the gaps?
Sure. So I'm a professional land investor. I've done over 5,200 deals and growing. And what I do is I basically call it the ultimate subscription model. Mm-hmm. So it's a one-time sale, and then we get recurring income every single month. But we're dealing with an asset we don't have to maintain. We don't have to protect. It lasts forever. And what I like about it is that I don't have to deal with any renters, rehabs, mm-hmm. renovations, or rodents. And it's a non-competitive niche. So I can kind of walk you through it exactly how I do it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. And I want to ask so many questions of you. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Mark on, in case some of you are wondering, is because we all have things that we do beyond law enforcement and criminal justice. I know many of you have your own businesses out there. Maybe you're writing a book, getting in, you know, started in real estate. But that's why I wanted to bring Mark on. And yeah, Mark, I would love to hear how you do what you do.
Yeah. So no, we're funny. One of our new coaches, she started out as a client, and she was managing about 150 people that their group works in Virginia. They hunt terrorists, and she loves land investing, and she did so well. Now she's coaching other people and giving back. But essentially, the way the model works is, Patrick, where do you live?
I live in Colorado.
You're in Colorado. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I go and I look at the people that owe back taxes at this county in Texas. And oh my God, I see Patrick Fitzgibbons owes $200 on this 10-acre ranch in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so you're advertising two things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. You live in Colorado. The property is in Texas. And number two, you're distressed in some way. When we don't pay for something, we don't. And it may just be that, you know, maybe you just lost your job. Maybe mm-hmm. you're just not interested in the property or whatever it is. But you're not paying your taxes. And you're getting notices every single month from the treasurer saying eventually if you don't pay your back taxes, they're going to auction your property to a tax deed or tax lien investor, and you are going to eventually lose it. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I'll look at the comparable sales of similar parcels for the last 12 to 18 months. And let's say, for example, that in our scenario that 10-acre parcel is selling for $10,000. What I'll do is I'll divide by four, and that gets me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. Mm-hmm. And so the most I'm going to pay for that property is $2,500. And what I'll do is I'll actually send you an actual offer, $2,500. Now, you're going to accept that offer. No, something is nothing. Now, in reality, 3 to 5% of people accept our quote-unquote top dollar offer. So for every 100 offers, we're looking at 3 to 5 deals. So now you accept it, and then I'm going to go through my due diligence, which means, you know, in-depth research. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure, number one, you still own the property. Number two, that back taxes are only $200. Number three, that there's ingress and egress or legal access. Mm-hmm. Number four, there's no liens or encumbrances. Number five, there's something compelling about the property. So all this whole due diligence checklist, we check it off. Then we buy the property for $2,500. And now I'm going to sell that property in 30 days or less. I'm going to have 3% return on my investment. And this is the way I'm going to do it. You know, I've got a built-in best buyer. Mm-hmm. You know who it is?
No.
It's the neighbors. The neighbors. So I send out neighbors saying, hey, look, before I go to the open market, opportunity, expand your holdings, protect your privacy, protect your view. So oftentimes the neighbors will buy it. Now, if the neighbors pass, I'll go to my buyers list. If the buyers list passes, I'll go to a little website you probably never heard of, list, which is the 10th most trafficked website in the United States. I'll go to, and essentially, pre-sold, and the way I'll sell it is I'm going to owner finance it at $10,000. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get a $2,500 down payment, and then I'm going to finance it at a car payment, let's say $449 a month over the next 8 years at 9% interest. So now I get my money out, and now I've created a $449 passive income stream over the next 8 years, and I don't have to deal with any renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents.
Jeez. You know, I mean, the focus, and you know, Mark, the focus is so much, I think, on residential. I mean,
If you go to a real estate investor meeting, right, there's 100 people in that room, 99 of them be either landlords, house flippers, or wholesalers. You and I are going to be the only land guys. You're not going to go on HGTV or the DIY network and see flip this land. It's boring. It's just me in front of a computer.
Yeah, but
it's 90% automated with software.
But it seems like it's a niche that not a lot of people, with the exception of yourself and probably other people, but not a lot of people are doing it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a massive market and no one's doing it simply because it's not sexy.
Interesting. Now, how did you get started in real estate? I mean, was your background in real estate? I know you have a little bit of banking, right? Investment banking background?
Yeah, so I was an investment banker, and I was specializing in mergers and acquisitions, private equity groups. And I hated it, Patrick. I had a 45-minute commute to work and back, micromanaged. It was high stress. It was long hours. And it got so bad for me that I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend really fast and having to be back at work on Monday.
Jeez.
So my firm hires this guy, and he's telling me that as a side hustle, he's going to these tax deed auctions. He's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar. He's flipping them online, and he's making on average a 300% return on his investment. Well, Patrick, I'm looking at companies all day long. Mm-hmm. And a great company has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Great company. Your average company is at 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. And I go with him to New Mexico. I buy up 10 half-acre parcels, an average price of $300 each. I do exactly what he says to do. I put them online. And they sell for an average price of $1,200 each, 300%. It worked.
Wow.
So I took all that money. I went to another auction in Arizona. Again, this is 2000. There's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots. I'm buying up acreage. And over the next 6 months, I made over $92,000 just on that one auction. So I said to my wife, I'm like, honey, I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to invest in land full time.
And what did she say? She was like, wait a minute.
She's pregnant at the time. She said, absolutely not. So I said, okay, fine. So I invested in land part-time, and it took about 18 months before the land investing income exceeded the investment banking income, and then I quit, and I've been doing it full-time ever since.
Now, is there a, and congratulations, by the way, because I think that's the dream with most people out there is to, I don't care what business you're in, is to kind of quit your job and kind of follow, because this is, you're passionate about this, Mark. I can tell you, this is something that you're very, very passionate about, which is important. You got to be passionate about what you're doing.
No, I love it. I love it. And it's, you know, it's such a great way to spend the day, because all along the line, it's just such, it's just value creation in the sense that here's somebody that has an asset that's become a liability and I help them out and they thank me, hey, Mark, now I'm going to be able to buy medicine this month because you bought my raw land that I know what to do with. Then we get somebody else who never thought they would own an asset like this that's affordable. And then they start enjoying the land. And then the county is collecting taxes. And now they're able to use that tax revenue to improve the roads and their schools. So all along the line, there's so much value creation. And then the fact that I can help other people get out of what I call solo economic dependency, which means if they're not working, if they're not working, they're not making any money. And for me, that's been so gratifying to retire spouses, to have people be able to quit their jobs, spend more time with their families, and do what they really want to do in life. Mm-hmm. And that's been really, really, you know, like that's just been like something that, you know, I'm ready to die in peace. Like it's so great.
And so many of us, Mark, you know this, so many of us are trapped, or people out there are trapped in jobs that they absolutely hate. You know, I mean, you were in the corporate world, you kind of got rid of that and got out of that. But now you're doing something that you love. And what's the old saying? If you do something you'll love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, does location matter? Do you focus on one part of the country? I know you're in Phoenix. Do you just stay within the Southwest or do you venture anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, think about it, Patrick. Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd really love some raw land today in Iowa, unless you live in Iowa, right? So we focus on California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, Florida. So we're looking at the Sunshine States and a little bit in the Northwest. And it's where these are fast growing.
Yeah, it's where the boom is, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's where people want to be or eventually want to be. There's lots of inexpensive raw land, and that's really the focus.
Can you talk a little bit more about solo economic dependency? You mentioned it a couple moments ago. And I like what you say about making money in your sleep, because that's a dream, literally, most of us would want. And you're saying real estate is the way to go, or raw land investing.
Right. I mean, so imagine you're a criminal justice professional, right? Mm-hmm. And how much control do you have if the department gets downsized? Mm-hmm. Right?
None.
You have none, right? So solo economic dependency means that if you're not working, you're not making any money. There's no other area of revenue that's being generated without your own personal work being involved. You could be a plastic surgeon, but if your hands aren't in somebody's body, you don't generate revenue. Mm-hmm. You also have solo economic dependency. So you can be wealthy and have solo economic dependency, which still, if that same plastic surgeon, right, gets into a car accident and breaks their wrist, it can no longer work, right? Their disability insurance is not going to cover that incredibly high lifestyle of theirs. Mm-hmm. So having this sort of knowledge up front and saying, okay, I want to be able to control all the things I can control in life. That's the way we can get out of solo economic dependency. And so my strategy is, can we create enough of these passive income notes where our passive income exceeds our fixed expenses? And then we're working because we want to, not because we have to. Mm-hmm. If we get sick, we're protected. If we get downsized, we're protected. If we get hurt in an accident, we're protected. Anything can happen in life and we're going to be protected. And that's a certain confidence that you can walk around in with life that most people don't have.
Yeah, and it's having multiple income streams. You know that.
It's having multiple incomes. Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people just take it for granted, like, oh, that's for somebody else.
Yeah.
But it really shouldn't be. It should be for everybody.
Well, that's a good segue to my next question, Mark. What are some of the common misconceptions about people like maybe there's listeners out there that are saying, yeah, it sounds great, Mark, but how do I do it? How do I get into it? I don't have a lot of money. I mean, do you need a lot of money? I mean, what are some of the misconceptions about buying, not just in raw land, investing in raw land, but just real estate in general?
Yeah. So essentially in real estate, we make our money on the buy, which means that if you lock up any asset, I don't care if it's real estate, I don't care if it's a car, I don't care if it's, you know, a rare stamp, you buy any asset 25 cents on the dollar, there's someone else there on the other end of that deal. So whether or not you have the money to actually acquire that asset is irrelevant. The real work is in locking up the asset 25, 30, 40 cents on the dollar. So here's a good example. One of my clients, Paul, he's broke, right? He's got like $500 for mailing. And he finds a deal in upstate New York and doesn't have $2,000 to do the deal. So he tells the seller, hey, look, it's going to take me 90 days to do due diligence. We'll close in 90 days. And the seller says, okay, not a problem, right? So what he's doing then, it takes him 2 days to do due diligence. He goes and he sends out letters to the neighbors. Well, within a week, the neighbor says, I'll buy it for $12,000 cash. So Paul says, great. He collects the money from the neighbor, the $12,000. He then pays off his original seller, the $2,000. He created $10,000 of income, an infinite ROI, just by sending out letters. So now he's got $10,000 of startup capital to continue his business. So you could do it that way. But let's say, for example, you know, Paul doesn't have that kind of time. He could go to someone like me and say, hey, Mark, I've got a deal. Retail is $12,000. Would you buy it for $4,000? Of course. So now he made $2,000 just by locking up the deal and being a wholesaler. So I started with $3,000. A buddy of mine, Duran, started with $800. You really don't need a lot of money.
Well, and it's using other people's money.
And you can use absolutely. You can use other people's money.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't have, you know, but if you don't have, let's say, a $500, you probably shouldn't be getting into a business, right? You really need to start. I mean, it's a business, right? You got to start preparing, saving for capital and doing those things.
Exactly. And you got to invest in yourself too. That's the most important thing, I think, Mark, and you know that, is you have to invest in yourself. You have to teach. You have to go to seminars. You have to listen to people like you and be coached by people like you to get to that next step.
Oh, I mean, would you climb Mount Everest without a Sherpa?
No.
Right? No.
They're the experts. Of course not,
right? They're the experts. They've done it 1,000 times. But so often we want to take on these big challenges that we're not comfortable with, and we don't find a Sherpa. And it's one of the biggest mistakes we see people make, because they don't have the confidence to actually invest in themselves.
So what do you tell people, Mark, when they come to you and you're coaching students and other people that come to you? I mean, what do you say? I mean, and part of it's fear. A lot of people are just afraid to, you know, go away from the herd, right? You got to stay within the herd. When you start, you know, getting away from that, then people are going to be critical of you. Maybe people are afraid, right? There's an element of fear there.
I think that's good, actually. I think if they're not afraid, they don't care enough.
No, I agree. But how do you get past them?
Yeah, I think you got to feel it and then move forward and just keep taking action on it and let that adrenaline sort of drive you. What happens is if you shut down, nothing is going to change in your life, right? I mean, look, intellectually speaking, we all know there's really nothing to fear anymore. I mean, like, we're walking out of our homes and there's going to be, you know, a dinosaur that eats us. we're not starving, right? I mean, we have first world problems.
Exactly.
So it's all in our, it's all in our head. So there's no reason, especially in age with today's technology, not to go for whatever you really want to. With the knowledge that you got to embrace the suck.
Yeah.
You've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to grow.
Yeah. And I really say, I mean, I really do believe, and I tell people this, we live in the best time ever, I think, with the technology we have now, information at our fingertips. I mean, look what we're doing right now. We're having we're talking, you know, with technology. I think it's one of the best times to live.
It's definitely the best. I mean, it's the best time ever to be alive. There's no doubt. There's a great book that even really hit the point, Sapiens. And, he's like this history professor.
and it kind of walks you through just the history of time. And then Homo Deus is the second book. And, you know, we've eliminated, like, the biggest problems in life, plague, you know, famine, war. I mean, these are things that would wipe out a third of the population at mm-hmm. times. We don't have any of that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it truly is amazing. What motivates you, Mark? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I think what gets me out of bed today is the fact that I can move the needle, but I can be the pebble in the pond. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you drop a pebble in the pond, it hits, but then that impact ripples out. And so for me, let's say there's three big buckets of stress in people's lives, right? Money, sex, and the kids, right? If you're a couple, right? Well, I can't help it with the other two, but I guarantee you, if I can eliminate the money stress in your life, right? That big stress, once eliminated, opens up oceans of energy for you to live your life. You're freer, you're calmer, and it really allows you to be more present with what really ultimately, I think, provides the most happiness for people, mm-hmm. which is the quality of their relationships. Mm-hmm. But if you and your spouse are constantly fighting about money, right, or if you're resenting your child wanting to go to an out-of-state college because of money, right, well, it really can ripple out and affect every relationship in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. What are some of your habits? I think most successful people have some habits that make them successful. I know you have habits that you do that are probably consistent with.
Yeah. I mean, my wife will tell you that I have OCD. I would just tell you I'm disciplined. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much do the same thing every morning. I wake up around 5:30 or 6. And the first thing I do is I meditate for 20 minutes. So I use an app called Headspace.
I love it. Love Headspace.
And then, right? And then after I meditate, I write in my gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. And I'll write, you know, just three things that are really grateful for. And I try to go deeper with it. I don't just, I'm grateful for my health and my family's health. You know, those like it might be a cool breeze on a hot Phoenix day, mm-hmm. right? Just things, being able to go to my kitchen and get a clean glass of water mm-hmm. is, you know, just these things that we just take for granted.
Yeah.
So I do my gratitude journal out for at least 30 minutes. And after that, I'm pretty much ready to take the kids to school and then take on my day.
Yeah.
And so I work 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Mondays and Fridays are my terminal days. So I pretend if this is my last day on earth, how am I going to spend that day?
Wow, that's amazing.
And usually it's just spending time with my friends and family.
Yeah, that is amazing. I'm a big fan of meditation. As a matter of fact, I just went out and I was using Headspace and Calm, and I got this new thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of Muse, Mark.
I have heard of music. Yeah.
It's awesome. No, I'm not a spokesman, but it's a great, it's like a headband that you wear and it measures brain activity. And I don't know if you'd like that, but you should check it out. And of course I journal too, which I think is so important. Is there any books on your horizon, Mark? I'm sure you get asked that, right?
Okay. Oh yeah. I love, okay. So I'm actually launching a book, Dirt Rich. How one ambitiously lazy geek created passive income in real estate without renters, renovations, rehabs. So I've got my book coming out, but a book that I'm reading right now that I'm really enjoying is Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules for Life. Really good. I just read Deep Work again for the second time.
Nice.
I love that book. You know, it's interesting. If you meditate, you might like this book by Sam Harris. Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion. That was kind of interesting. What else did I just read that I thought was interesting? Grit, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Nice.
The Geography of Bliss is really interesting. And I think your listeners would love Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss.
Huh. Interesting.
He's an FBI negotiator.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. They would love that. I'm reading Lewis Howe's book right now, The Mask of Masculinity. And I'm also, that's a really good book. And I'm also reading Ray Dalio's Principles. You know who Ray Dalio is, right?
Love that book. Yeah, the billionaire hedge fund manager.
Yeah,
And it was, that guy's great.
Yeah, I'm a big, huge Tony Robbins fan. And, you know, he mentioned it in one of his podcasts, Ray Dalio. So I picked it up and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you tried to do radical honesty and radical transparency in your business?
Do we do that?
Yeah. Have you tried it?
To some degree, yes.
How'd it go?
You know, mixed results.
Yeah, I'm really scared. I'm really scared to hurt people's feelings. I'm a people pleaser. And it's one of those things
but you
where
you can't do that, Mark.
I know. But so what I did was I created a culture deck and I kind of wrote it. And then I can go back to the deck and say, look, based on our principles, we're not, you know, what you just did was not authentically sort of living towards our principles. And, you know, we've got to have this sort of higher purpose and than just making you feel good. Mm-hmm. And then that really helped me to kind of go back to like a written sort of deck than just in a day-to-day sort of meeting or exchange.
Interesting. Interesting. Now you have a podcast out there, Mark. Can you talk really quick about your podcast?
Yeah, I've got three. I've got the Land Geek podcast, which is devoted all to land investing. I've got the Best Passive Income Model podcast, where we have experts from real estate and other walks of life. And I kind of walk them through my model and then I ask them, do I have the best passive income model? And that's always interesting to hear what they say. Mm-hmm. And then the current one is the Art of Passive Income podcast. And we get we do two a week. We do one roundtable of land investors, and then we have experts come on and try to extract out their success secrets.
That is awesome. Mark, any final thoughts or suggestions for the listener before we wrap up?
You know, I love this quote by Zig Ziglar. And he says, if you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years what other people won't do, you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what other people can't do.
I love that. And really quick, if people want to reach out to you, Mark, where can they find you, sir?
I think the best place to go is thelandgeek.com. Thelandgeek.com. They can download for free our passive income blueprint. They can get our ebook, How to Avoid the 3 Feet of Land Buying Mistakes, and then get our current podcast delivered each week to their email inbox. And I'll tell you what, Patrick, if email support@thelandgeek.com and they put in the subject line CJ Evolution or Patrick Fitzgibbons, I'll send them our $97 passive income launch kit course for free.
That is awesome. And that'll be in the show notes, Mark. So thank you so much, sir. Much success to you in your companies and your podcast. And thanks for being on the show, sir.
Patrick, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye, Mark.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.